there's a kind of shelo lishma that it says that a person who learns Torah shelo lishma is mutav shenepach shel yoso alpanav. Better that he should have been stillborn. Shouldn't have been born. And the Sefer Tosa says that kind of shelo lishma is where you're learning to show up other people and to harm other people. That kind of shelo lishma. That's what he says. And the Mesillas Yesharim, that's what Tosfos says. That the Mesillas Yesharim says that, that the kind of shelo lishma, that better that you should not have been brought into this world, is where you totally are doing it as a facade, as a sham. Doing it for money, for covet, not as an ulterior purpose, but that's the only purpose. I'm not doing it because it's a mitzvah, but I have ulterior motives. I'm completely taking it and using it for my own purposes. I don't believe in it. It's just a show. Okay, that's a hypocrite. And that, what's it called? That kind of shelo lishma, even though you're not harming anybody, right? But you're fooling people, making them think you're something that you're not. That is also, he says, the kind of shelo lishma that's mutav shenepach shel yoso alpanav. What? We're a Perek Tezayin. And we explained last time, I think, that this includes also somebody who totally distorts the mitzvah, and maybe we didn't speak about it, I don't remember, who totally distorts the mitzvah and misrepresents it completely. So he doesn't have kavanah for the mitzvah at all. Shelo lishma means I'm doing it for the mitzvah, but I have ulterior motives why I want to do this mitzvah. But if you distort the mitzvah completely, that the ulterior motives become the mitzvah, then that is wrong. The example, I think we mentioned it, but it's been a long time, so I'll mention it again. In the 1960s, there was a group, we won't leave nameless, that wanted to spread Limud HaTorah. So they figured that they would entice people to learn Torah if they told people they're not learning Torah. They said they're learning mysticism, right? Not even Kabbalah, mysticism. Right? Come and learn mysticism, and that was really, you know, attractive to people. You know, why not learn mysticism? We can, you know, levitate ourselves and, you know, put voodoo dolls and kill our enemies or whatever mysticism conjures up in people's minds, that you can be, you know, a magical person who can control nature. So people came to learn mysticism, not only Jews, non-Jews also came to learn mysticism, so it wasn't anything to do with Torah. And my Rosh Yeshiva said that one would think that that is mito shelo lishma bo lishma, right? They're doing it shelo l'shem shamayim, but eventually maybe these people will become from or learn Torah or for good reasons. So it's completely not the case. And he explained something in last week's Sedra, this week's Sedra has to do with the parasha also. This week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Kach es halavim. Right, so whenever it says Kach in the Torah by a human being, it means to convince him. Take him with words. Right away, the first time in the Torah, it says, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'odam, Vayanichei b'gan Eden. Doesn't mean he pulled him by the hand and dropped him into Gan Eden. It means that he convinced him and told him, this is what's good for you. Right, so he entered Gan Eden on his own. Why? Because if you take a person by the hand, you're only taking his body. If you convince him, you're taking his neshama too. So therefore, wherever it says in the Torah, kach, kach es Aaron, is kochenu bidvorim, take him with words. In fact, the Mashgiach and Felser of Chaim Stein told me that that's where we know that you have to have amira by Kedushin. Kedushin is not enough just to give the woman something, you know, and it's obvious that it's for the sake of Kedushin, according to some opinions at least. You have to mamish say hareyat mukudeshesli at some point. Now, you don't have to say it at that time. You could have said it before, and then you're involved with other things. But there had to be a speech that goes along with the Kedushin. He says, because it says in the Torah, ki yikach ish es isha. Now, it can't mean you just take her, right, physically, right, or even take her with a kinyan because her physical side, because that's not taking a human being. So there must be some amira, there must be some speech over here, just like all the place. That is included in this Maisa Kedushin, in the action of Kedushin. So you have to say Hareyat Mekudeshesli, or in some way connect your Amira with the Maisa HaKedushin. That's what he said. In any case, so when it says kaches halevim, it also means to take them with, convince them. It's a good thing to be a Levi, right? A Levi has to be a. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? What was this great convincing of telling them? Ashreichem shenismanu shamoshim lamakom. You are very fortunate that you were appointed to be God's shamosim, God's servants. Now, okay, that's very nice, but it doesn't sound too convincing. Right? That's the downside of being a Levi, that you have to be a shamus. There's an upside of being a Levi. You get free food. So if Moshe Rabbeinu has to convince the Levium to accept their responsibility, instead of emphasizing the negative side, right, the fact what they have to do, and emphasize the perks of the job, right, what they can get. Tell them that, you know, you're a Levi, and don't, you're going to get really nice free food, mice or whatever, from Klal Yisrael. And by the way, you got to be a shamus also. But it doesn't seem like the way to convince them is to say to them, to tell them, Ashreichem shenismanu shamoshim lamakom. There's better ways of convincing them to be a Levi, if you have to convince them already. So he said that if they would, Moshe would have told them that being a Levi means getting free food, and that's the reason they would have accepted it, that's not shalom lishma. That's a total distortion of what Levius is. If you think that being a Levi is getting free food, a Levi gets free food. But a Levi means that you're shamoshim lamakom. That is what it is. You want to do it for ulterior motives, fine, but know what it is. But if you think that a Levi means getting free food, then you're totally distorting the idea of Levi. Same thing he said, right? If you think you're learning mysticism, it's not that you're learning Torah for an ulterior motive. You're totally distorting what Torah is, not Torah. And nothing, he said, will come from that that's good. Right, the only thing that came from that good maybe is that Madonna learned Torah, and I don't know which other Hollywood stars became big Kabbalists, what's it called, from that kind of thing, and it spread to other people who took advantage of it, shalom lishma, and became millionaires from teaching all of these Hollywood movie stars Kabbalah. So even though it wasn't the original group that did it, but they were blamed for the spin-off also. So in any case, so that's another kind of shalom lishma, where one is that is totally no good, and that's never going to lead to lishma. One is where you do it to harm people, to show them up, to put them down, right? That you're learning in order to do that. Second is, as Mesillas Yesharim says, where you're totally putting on an act. You have no intention of doing any mitzvah at all. You're just putting on an act to fool people so you can get covered or whatever. Not you're doing a mitzvah, but you have ulterior motives. You have no ulterior motive. That is the entire motive. The entire motive is, what's it called? And that will never come. And that you don't say, mito shalo lishma bo lishma. And the third kind is what Rav Shiva said, where you totally misrepresent the mitzvah, distort it completely. That kind of shalo lishma also will never come to lishma. Okay, so what is the other kind? The Yesh Min Acher Shal Shalom Lishma. This is all fitting into the Midah of Tahara. Tahara means being pure, not only in your actions, but in your intentions. And therefore, there are intentions. You can do a mitzvah. And the three intentions that we mentioned till now are totally unacceptable and negative. Now he's going to come to other intentions you can have, which are not pure, but they're okay. They're acceptable, even though they're not purity. They're not the pure way of doing a mitzvah. What are they? The yesh min acher shalom lishma shu avoda manasa kabel pras. I'm serving God, and I'm doing the mitzvah, and I know what the mitzvah is, and I'm doing it. I'm not doing it to hurt other people, but I'm doing it for an ulterior motive. I want to get covered. I want to get money from it. That's not my only intention. My intention is to do the mitzvah. But by the way, doing the mitzvah, I can get money. So that's called a mitzvah shalom lishma, and that for all of Amru in Gemara's Pesachim, la'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvahs afilu shalom lishma. A person should be osik in Torah and mitzvahs, even shalom lishma. Shemito shalom lishma bo lishma, because from the shalom lishma will become the lishma. Ach, I'll call upon him. Mishalo higi adai mito shalom lishma lishma harei rachel kumishle musa. However, that doesn't mean this is ideal. It's a step along the way. The Rambam says this is how you deal with children. Right? In the beginning, you can't convince children to serve the Rabbanu Shalolam because it's the right thing to do, and with all altruistic reasons, they're little kids. So what do? You promise a lollipop, promise them what's it called, a trip to the zoo, whatever it is. If you do these mitzvahs, you keep these mitzvahs or whatever, I will give you a material reward. So that's mitoshel olishma, bolishma. That's how a child has to start with mitzvahs. As he matures, hopefully, right, when he's 20 years old, you don't have to give him a lollipop to go to learn. Then you have to give him other things, maybe. What's it called? Right. Right. It'd be easier to give the lollipop. But in any case, but at some point, hopefully, you've trained the child to do it for its own sake, not for the side reward. And we said that that's what Dubna Magid says is what happened in Mitzrayim. Right? That when the Rabban Shem promised reward for leaving Mitzrayim with great riches, he meant the Torah. But the Jews weren't on the, they were like little kids. They weren't on the level to appreciate that. So the Rabban Shem gave him gold and silver, and that they understood to be their great riches. And when they matured a little bit more, they understood the real great riches was the Torah. Yeah.
Where in all this does doing it as fear of honor as opposed to wanting any prasim, just
Honor is also honor.
No, I didn't say that. I said fear of onish.
Oh, fear of onish. Okay. I heard what I want to hear. The fear of onish. That's also a form of shalom lishma. So lishma means I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's called ahava, out of pure love of the truth of what it is that the Rabbanu Shalom wants me to do, and the greatness of the Rabbanu Shalom, who I want to please and I want to do what he wants because it's such a right thing to do. That's called ahava. That's ahava Hashem. Anything less than that is called yira. Yira normally means what you said. I'm afraid I'm going to get punished. So I'm not really doing it for God's sake. I'm doing it for my sake, because I don't want to suffer. But even a higher level of yira is that I'm not afraid I'm going to get punished. I'm not afraid God's going to zap me with a lightning bolt. But I'm afraid that if I don't do these mitzvahs, or if I do aveiras, I'm not going to reach the perfection that I could reach. So it's all motivated by self-interest. It's a more selfish, not in a negative way, than selfless. And that's also called yira. It's not the highest level.
What about an adult who doesn't believe that he gets mental stimulation from learning, enjoys learning for the sake of the intellectual?
It depends. If it really depends on nothing is black and white, okay? And a person like that, right? If he really doesn't believe that this is anything divine, it's just mental gymnastics, and it's an interesting regiment of intellect, right? And he could be learning, theoretical mathematics too, but he doesn't like numbers, and this is more challenging to his mind. Then it's not Bikoris. And then the Torah is not only not going to be Lishma from him, right? It's going to be, what's it called? It's going to be a Sam HaMavis to that person. Right? A person who learns, and he's Kofar in the Torah, he's learning it in a way that he doesn't believe in anything. But most people, there are people like that. There were people like that. Mordechai Kaplan, I think, was an example of someone who did not believe in the Torah. Right? He sat and learned without a yarmulke, but he enjoyed the mental gymnastics of Torah learning. Okay. That's not Bikoris. And there you don't say mitoshel olishma bolishma, just the opposite. You say that Torah, like the Vilna Gaon says, is like rain. If you rain on beautiful flowers, they grow into beautiful flowers. If you rain on poisonous weeds, they grow much better poisonous weeds. So it depends what you're growing, what the Torah is going to have an effect. So that kind of Torah is probably a Sam HaMavis, and it leads to negative things, aside from the Kabbalistic ideas of somebody who learns Torah or does mitzvahs, and even if he does other Averas at the time or whatever, is feeding the Koach of the Sitra Achra in the world. His mitzvahs don't go to positive things. The power of the mitzvah and the power of the Torah goes to negative things and strengthens the negative things in this world. That's from a Kabbalistic standpoint. But most people are not like that. Most people, right, can find other things to do besides learning, right? But they don't necessarily are kofer. They don't believe. They don't know what they don't believe, right? Right? You ask them, what don't you believe in? They really have an idea what they're supposed to believe, so you can't really be kofer in something you have no idea what it is. So they just don't know. Right? And they find Torah very stimulating. And they like the ideas that are in it. So it's not that they're denying the validity of the Torah, or they just don't know, and the memela is by default that they're not believers. So those are people like more or less Tinoko Shanishbu. Okay, they've been exposed to Torah and they find it, you know, stimulating and nice, and the ideas are nice or whatever. That misnami yisei mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That eventually, learning like that, or you say even more than that, by Torah, there's even a stronger thing, shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That's a halavai osi ozavu v'torasi shamaru shahamor shebo mazil mutav. Torah itself has a light within it that brings a person back. So in the case where it's not active kfira, it's just passive, right, there it could be that the Torah itself will eventually must be on the person to see the beauty and holiness and divinity of Torah and bring them back. That's possible.
Like a lot of yeshivas,
and there are, right.
At the Baal Shiva yeshivas, I mean, how people come.
Again, if they're there already, they want to learn, right, then obviously they're not, you know, kofrim who know what Torah is and are learning it purely, you know, with the idea this is not godly or whatever. They don't know what they're doing. So then the Torah can have an effect. There's a kavana misnagedis. There's an idea of, even if mitzvahs don't need kavana, but if you have kavana not to be yotze, you're not yotze. Here, learning for the sake of kfira is negative. Just learning but not knowing what you believe in or whatever is just not positive. So it could be then that the Torah itself will pull you to the right side. Okay, and there are a million gradations between one and the other, and nobody fits into one extreme or the other. They're all somewhere in between, and then the Rabban Shalom has to decide whatever, you know, I guess with about Shuva Yeshiva, they take on that anybody who wants to come to the Yeshiva, right, already is doing it because they have some kind of interest. They're not apikursim that just want to, you know, take a vacation and, you know, and experiment with Torah that they don't believe in or something like that, I imagine. Even though it's been known that there are people who go to yeshivas with intention of, there's a famous guy, your friend, what's his name? Kobe, what's his name, the author? Who spoke here once?
Kobe Levy.
Yeah, Kobe Levy. He said that he went to an Arachim weekend, Bedavka, to bashmutz them, to find all the things that he could write in one of these secular newspapers, or Aretz, or one of them, right, that he was a correspondent, not for him, and they paid him to go there, Bedavka. He was going there, Bedavka, to look for negative. Lemaisa, he obviously didn't have that bad of a feeling, because the Torah, Lemaisa, won him over, and they regretted sending him there completely, right? He became a very good spokesman for Frum Yidden, right? So I guess that, even though he was going with an intention of, you know, uncovering this, Lemaisa, his neshama wasn't that set on, you know, on the negative, and he was a little bit more open-minded than he maybe even knew himself, and Varharaya, the Torah had an effect on him. So you can never tell. Again, this is the Rabban Shalom's business. Now, to offer us to decide, unless somebody is an out and out apikoris who's outspoken, right, then that kind of person, Lichori, shouldn't let learn Torah. That his Torah is negative. Better he shouldn't have been born. But to get to that level, you have to be really somebody special. And the regular run of the mill people are not big enough to be on that level. That's Lanias Daiti. But again, it's up to the Rabban Shalom to decide what the Kavana is. He can't understand.
Usually we understand Aminasta Kavan Pras.
Yeah.
It usually means Olam Haba.
Lav Dafka. It could mean Aminasta Kavan Pras. It could mean Olam Haba. That's a higher level. But Aminasta Kavan Pras can mean in this world too. In fact, some people learn in that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that if you do it for the sake of Olam Haba, that's fine. That's the purpose of the mitzvah, to get Olam Haba. That's why the Rabban Shalom wants you to do the mitzvah. He wants to give you Olam Haba. Al Manas L'Kabel Pras means I'm not doing it for the sake of Olam Haba. I'm doing it not as Manas L'Kabel Schar. Al Manas L'Kabel Pras means in this world. And that's what's wrong with it. So there are opinions that say that if you learn for the sake of Olam Haba, that's L'Shema. Because that's what the Rabban Shalom wants to give me. right? And in fact, the Mesillas Yesharim says before in the Hakdamah that the purpose of doing mitzvahs is because the Rebbeinu Shem wants to give us that tremendous pleasure, and a person should do the mitzvahs to get that pleasure. But we explain that there's two kinds of doing it. The Rambam says that even doing it l'shem olam haba is not ava. That's still yira. Okay, that's still lower madrega. Has to be mamash, totally altruistic. Yet, the Rambam himself says that the reason we're looking forward to Yemos HaMashiach is that we should be able to have the ideal environment to get as much olam haba as we can. So which is it? So we explain that just like Shabbos, right, a person can, it says you're supposed to enjoy Shabbos. So somebody eats cholent because he likes cholent. And Shabbos is a good excuse to eat cholent. Right? He would do it on Wednesday too, but you know, Shabbos, everybody eats cholent. He loves cholent. So then he's keeping Shabbos shelo lishma, because he's doing it to enjoy the cholent. But somebody who says, look, the Rebbeinu Shem wants me to enjoy Shabbos, a mitzvah onik Shabbos. And I'm doing this totally to be mekayim the mitzvah onik Shabbos. In order to have onik Shabbos, I have to enjoy myself. But I'm not doing it for the enjoyment. I'm doing it because in that way I'm mekayim ratzon Hashem to have enjoyment. That's lishma. Same thing. I'm doing the mitzvah because God wants me to have that pleasure of olam haba. That's not shelo lishma. I'm doing the mitzvah because I want the pleasure of olam haba, right? Not because God wants me to have the pleasure. Because I want the pleasure, that's shelo lishma. That's a very thin line between the two. Okay. Same cholent, very, very thin
but
line.
But you can have both. You
can have your cholent and eat it too.
Enjoy the cholent.
Not near the consumption. Right. Okay. Okay, the emphasis is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was upset that the Jewish people were more concerned about themselves than hearing the Rebbeinu Shem speak, right? Because they said, we're afraid if we continue hearing the Rebbeinu Shem speak, we're going to die. So Moshe Rabbeinu like said, so what? They have a chance to hear the Rebbeinu Shem. What are you worried about yourselves? Right? If you have a chance to hear the Rebbeinu Shem speak for another minute, so isn't it worth it? And he went to the Rebbeinu Shem and he was really, really down on Klal Yisrael. Right? So you know what the Rebbeinu Shem told him? Mi yitein, halavai. V'hoya levavam ze le'yiro si kol hayomim. Halavai, that the people on the level of yira, where they're concerned about doing what I want, but they're concerned about themselves. It's self oriented. Halavai, most people think what's good for them is not what the Rebbeinu Shem wants. Halavai, we should be on the madrega where we think that we're doing what the Rebbeinu Shem wants is good for me. Right? Higher madregas, there are individuals like that. Moshe Rabbeinu was like that. Avraham Avinu was like that. But the run of the mill person are Oved, Meira, not Meava. Yira, Ava is a tremendously high level. So we're talking about things that are, you know, easy to talk about, but they're not really where we're holding. And we shouldn't feel that, you know, well, we're not really of the Hashem because we're doing it ultimately, at best, because it's a good thing to do, and I really think that I would suffer if I get punished or don't get rewarded or don't get my olam haba or whatever. Lamaisa, the Rebbeinu Shem himself said, Mi yitein, halavai, that clients are on that level. Right? You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're on a higher level. But appreciate the level of halavai. We should be on that level of yira. Right? We're holding by many, about 1,000 levels down from that. But halavai, we should be on the level of yira at least. And I don't. Right? We're learning all these things. Makes a person leave this year and feel like they're really, really, you know, good for nothing. Right? We wouldn't reach this level, the chalal. Right? And I don't want to give the impression that I did, and I'm, you know, telling you guys what. We're all in the same boat. Right? Maybe you're in even a better boat than me. I don't know. But in any case, but you shouldn't leave the shir and feel that, you know, that, so what's it worth what I'm doing? I'm not going to reach Tahara or whatever. Halavai, so maybe once in a while you have the feeling of Tahara. So that's something also. If you can't do it all the time or whatever, maybe Ni'il Yom Kippur you'll feel the Tahara. Fine? So at least you know what it is, so you know how to appreciate it. That's the most that we can hope for, I think. Okay. At least most I can hope for. Can't speak for you. Okay. Amnon, Mashitzorich, La'odam, Yoser Iyun. Okay, what's that? We'll stop here with this, and then we'll go to the halacha.